No, countdown to Christmas, that's a Hallmark thing, isn't it? And you know, they started well before Thanksgiving advertising all these good movies. And for years, Hallmark has been a staple in our home. We love the Hallmark movies. This year has been a little difficult. They got confused between Adam and Eve and Adam and Steve. And, you know, Crown Media, you can call them or you can write them or whatever. I think you ought to, because they have really taken the thing that has been always great and made it worse. But, you know, COVID has done that. Everything that is great is worse now. And it's amazing that we're still able to meet a little bit. And so we look at our world and you wonder, what in the world is going on? And yet, the Christmas cry gets louder and louder. Did you notice that? It's getting closer and closer. And now they've got all these big sales. Everybody's got to hurry down or you're going to miss out on something. Sounds like they're trying to sell you a used car, doesn't it? But anyhow, it gets louder and louder, and boy, the Christmas music. Don't you love the Christmas music? Let's see, how many times have we heard, oh, Christmas tree, your little branches are sure pretty. they want to sing that one because they can get by with it without having to bring up Christ's name. Now, I do admit that in some of the Hallmark movies, especially on the movies and mysteries section, they generally, when they start a hymn, they sing it all the way through. And I'm grateful for that. And we need to see that done. And we need to realize that there are a lot of Christmas specials that are coming up. I can't wait to see Frosty the Snowman. I have not heard anybody sing Grandma Got Ran Over. I'm missing that song. I really miss that one. But you think about the songs that are out there. There's so many songs and so many specials and so many commercials. It's a wonder that they can even put a movie on because they've got so many commercials to push them off. The commercials just roll right along. And we look at our world today and we wonder, wow, with all this stuff going on, think of the millions and millions and millions of dollars that have been spent trying to get people elected. It is unreal the amount of money that has been spent trying to do this or do that or something else, and then the money that's being spent as we complain and go on. The world is hectic at this moment. We are wrapped up in the hectic thing, nerve-wracking hecticness. You know, the tiring experience of getting ready for Christmas. Are you all ready? Tell you what, this church is pretty much ready. It's been decorated, and oh, it looks great. Don't you wish our houses did? Has everybody gotten a tree? Well, some of you did. I've always liked those trees because you can decorate them in a hurry. But when you get one like this, you've got to, when you have kids, you have to do that, don't you? And the trees are wonderful. But how many of you have a live tree? There you go. Couldn't afford one of those artificial ones. I don't know. But you think about it. But I want to start a series today, The Sounds of Christmas. And we're going to approach the scripture looking for sounds. And today, verses 1 through 7 in Luke chapter 2, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. That helps to identify the date. And everyone went to their own town to register. They had to go to their birthplace or the family place. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. He was and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. What kind of noise do we have coming out of that? If you cut through it, you want to just see what the sounds really are. Because there's loud and then there's the quiet. The two sounds for today is the noisy inn and the little quiet place where Jesus was born. When you look at that and gather those two sounds, think about all the noise that was taking place back there. Thing that I used in the outline is that it was a lullaby that you could hear in the back. I think that's probably most moms when they have babies, they lullaby them, don't they? I don't remember whether I was lullabied or not because I was too young to remember. But most babies do get lullabies, and we like that. But then there's also the very noisy inn that surrounded them. You got to remember, this is a small town. They don't have a Marriott. They don't have a Holiday Express. They don't even have a Sanger Inn, which is kind of a Roach Motel, or used to be. I don't know what it is now. That's what we used to call it. But they had just almost no space. And here is an inn. And in that inn, wonder what the noise is from there. There's just something right there that's taking place. They've all had to come to their hometown. Now why? It says to register. In other words, a census is being taken. It's what it says up at the top. That's not really the problem. The census is so you can be taxed. And that's not a real good feeling. Have you paid your taxes yet? You know, they're going to be due by the first of the year, somewhere thereabout. Or then they're going to start charging you extra if you don't get them paid. What if they come and take your house? Well, probably. You never know. You don't know what Eddie would be doing for business. He might be coming and taking our house. Probably not. I don't think he'd have that in. But you look at it and realize that this noisy inn is surrounded by a lot of indifference. There's a lot of indifference in the world, and there's unconcern. But going on out just beyond them, a mother's lullaby. Can you see the contrast? An inn that is just full of noise, and it goes on and on and on. And then there is the lullaby. My goodness. When you look at that and realize that we're looking at these sounds, the sound of Christmas tells us that there is love in the world that too often goes unnoticed. It's too often unshared, too often unseen. We had a few years, many moons ago, where there was a movement of having a revival that says, God loves you. And, you know, there's nothing new about that. God has always loved us. But sometimes, do you ever feel unloved? There are times when we do go around feeling unloved. And yet we've got to recognize that God loves us. And it's all right there. And the world has just not noticed it. Here is the end. All the noise going on. The love of God out back. It is amazing. Well, the inn is full because of taxes. I don't know what we would have to do if we had to go back to register at our home place for taxes. We have to register pretty much for those anyhow, but I don't have to go back like that. But here you look at this. The taxes absolutely reeked of Roman domination. And they didn't like the Romans. They didn't like being conquered. They didn't like being ruled by them. And so there would be a lot of oppression and bitterness going on around there. And they're really wrapped up in their own problems. And did you notice? Not one person, not one was concerned enough to offer their space to a young girl about ready to give birth. That says a lot, doesn't it? That says a lot. And Mary, in her needs, it was just ignored by all those people who were wrapped up in their own problems and the hate they had for Rome. And so you look at it and say, whoa, wait a minute. No one would give up their place? You've seen the ad. I don't know. The people who want to make us better, they're always putting these good ads out. And a woman gets on the bus, and I think the song Respect is going on, and she's carrying a package, and she's just barely making it. And the least likely person sitting there that would get up, a guy listening to music, gets up and says, ma'am, would you like to have my seat? There wasn't anybody in the inn that had that much concern at all. I wonder, for us, how many of us have those kind of concerns that we are trying to be indifferent as the world crumbles around us? Because it really is. COVID-9 is coming around again. And the numbers are going up. Well, we've got vaccine on the way. I told somebody, I remembered a song about Nervous Norvis that said he was always crashing his car and always having to get blood, and he just came in this time and said, shoot the juice to me, Bruce. I want some of that. Let's get a shot. Oh, you have to take two of them. Well, there's a lot of them you have to take two of. You have to take a flu shot every year. And it's a good thing to do. And we recognize that. But I want you to notice this. As much as we look at this, and as indifferent as the world was, and as hard as it was, you know that stable was not an issue for God? God could have said, scoot over. We're going to have room for her. He didn't do that. The stable was enough for him. It was enough. It was enough. It was a great act of love that was being performed. God so loved us that he gave us his one and only son. Wow. Can you just imagine that? We look at this and realize that Christmas is God with us. And not only that, he has not left us alone. You don't have any trouble finding God if you're looking for him. There are a lot of people looking in the wrong places. But you don't have any trouble finding him. He's there. It's right there. Second thing that I wanted to look at as we looked at this, the sound of Christmas reminds us that there is joy in a world that really needs it. It's hard for some folk to walk around today and have a joyful face with all the financial problems that are going on due to COVID and our government and everything else that's happening. There's plenty for us to complain about. There's plenty of things that we could just be unhappy about. But really, when we sing joy to the world, it is joy to the world. And I love it when that comes up in a Hallmark movie. We ought to be singing joy to the world. We've got to realize that the very Savior that we are representing brings joy to your life. And joy doesn't mean a smirk or a smile. Joy is something that takes place in your heart. And when you've got joy in here, then it's joy everywhere in your life. But if it's a fake joy that you just put on the outside, that rubs off pretty quick. You've got to realize that this is what the world needs. This crowded inn that was full of laughter. It may have had laughter. I don't know whether it was laughter or joking or whatever they were doing just to get along. There's a mountain of unhappiness in that place where they were. Many people in town, that inn, they literally had no laughter. They had no hope, and they had no happiness. The games and the parties, just like we have, all the things that we do, they wrapped up in despair, depression, and suicides. You know, that's a real issue in our world. With all the shutdown and all the stuff that's going on, it is amazing how there's a spike in suicides because they feel empty and unable to face today's times. Do you ever feel like the Grinch came and stole your Christmas? The Grinch who stole Christmas. How did that story end? Didn't he ultimately get a heart? I don't know. Did you ever see the end of that story? Oh, was it? All right. It was on last night. And did it end well? Well, that's wonderful that you fell asleep. I like being able to sleep through things like that. And so you look at it and you realize the Grinch does sometimes steal our joy and our very heart. But we've got to have a joy in our heart that he can't touch because it's God protected. That is the kind of joy that we really want to know. And the third thing about the sounds of Christmas reminds us that the inner peace and confidence in the world, in a world that does not know it, we've got to have the inner peace and confidence so that the world that doesn't know it can see it. It needs to be shown. An anxious world. Think about how anxious this world is. You can't turn the news on without getting your blood pressure going up, boiling. You can really do that. And you can't get on Facebook, or you can't get on this, or can't get on that, and find a lot of joy. Now, we like to keep up with family. My wife does. I don't get on Facebook. I don't have to. But she does. She likes to keep up with family. But you know, there's a lot of bad news there. And you think about all the bad news that we have around us, and we worry about all this bad news. We are anxious, and there's plenty to complain about. And so we find that we have a complaining society. There's a constant tension that's taking place. It happened right then at this story. Do you know, every time a Roman soldier walked by, you know what they were saying? Defund the army! We got to defund them. We got to do something. Because they were sick and tired of taxes that they did not want to pay. They were taxed to death. Well, sometimes we are too, aren't we? We just don't understand how it is. And we want to complain. But God didn't put us here to complain. God put us here to be an example. He put us here to bring strength and joy to a world that is full of disappointment. But we've got to recognize that the Father is taking care of us. He has provided for us something that no matter what happens here, it's going to be okay. It is. It's going to be fine. That's my byline. It's going to be all right. Because I read the end of the book. It's going to be all right. And we'll be fine. We'll just be okay. This mother's lullaby was full of grace and no complaints. Mary would have had a real good case to take to court if they wouldn't give her a room. But she was grateful for where she got to be. And it was enough for God, wasn't it? There's no fussing, but there is peace and confidence. Last year I was walking through a mall, Christmas time, and I looked over and here's a woman with a little baby. Little baby right there in her arms. The baby was sleeping away. Didn't care what was going on around him. Peaceful, careful. And I like the idea of God carrying us. And the peace that we have comes from Him. And the security that we have is being wrapped up by Him. Mother died prematurely. I read this in a book. Father didn't know what to do to help his son, who was fairly young. And so they were sleeping together. And the little boy said, in the dark, said, "Dad, is your face turned to me?" The father said, "Yes." Son went right to sleep. Because there was security where they were. When you and I look at our world, we have an opportunity to know peace. Not only peace, we don't have to have pieces of it. We can have all of it. We can have peace that God provides. And we do it by asking Him to come into our heart. If we do not know Jesus as our personal Savior, all you have to do is just say, "God, I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins, and I'm grateful that your Son died in my place, and I ask, Heavenly Father, that you let Him come into my heart, and I will follow Him as my Savior and as my Lord." You know what God will do? He'll answer that prayer. It may be that today we need to rededicate our lives. We may have other things that we need to do down here at the altar. We need to come and pray. just come and talk to me, you're more than welcome to come as we stand together and sing our hymn of invitation.